Welcome back to Reality NSFW and our coverage of Big Brother Canada. We're here on Wednesday night after the Week 5 veto ceremony. I'm Zach Hacker. I'm joined by Bobby Goodsby. Once again, Bobby, how are you doing?
Hey, doing great, Zach. Just happy to be here. Got my COVID shot, my second one yesterday. Feeling like $100 today. Yesterday was a little rough, but I'm here. I'm excited to talk about Big Brother and what a crazy week we've had.
Yeah, I'm glad you're not feverish. That would make this a little bit more tricky. And of course, go ahead. And of course, Brent Wagamot is back once again, the king of ratings. Brent, how are you doing?
Thank you. Yes, please, Bobby, never step on my entrance. That would be terrible. I am so glad you got your vaccine. I have gotten part one of my vaccine. It's the responsible thing to do. And I'm glad that we all have our vaccine at this point. So congratulations, us. This episode was a lot of fun, and I'm excited to talk about it. It's one thing when I was over at RHAP doing, you know, like two or three shows a week. But I have to say, doing like one show a week, I have to get out all of the stuff that I want to say on this podcast. So I'm so ready for it.
Well, hey, let's not bury the lead then. We've got the invisible HOH twist. We were speculating at the end of the podcast last week. What is this? What's it going to look like? I think we had really high hopes for this. Brent, just first reactions. What do you think about the invisible HOH and the implementation?
I have to say, I love the concept. I really do. I love the fact this is meant for Big Moves television. That's what it's meant for. I mean, when the producers thought this up, they thought of, you know, I'm sure they were thinking of Big Brother 22, All-Stars, people that might want to make a move against somebody, but just don't have the cojones to do it. Like, that's what this move is for. Unfortunately, well, fortunately, it went into the hands of someone who considers herself to be a Big Moves person in Victoria. But unfortunately for us, she's really big on doing the bidding of Jed and Ty and loves them to death and wants to be in with the cool kids. And thus, we got a really sad nomination set of Brayden and Austin. And that is really deplorable for a bunch of reasons, not the least of which is exciting television, but also because of the fact that with Rohan, spoiler alert, not using the veto, that means that we're going to lose somebody, probably Austin, and then we're not going to get the Brayden and Austin shenanigans in jury, which I would have loved to have seen, but it is not to be. So somebody's going to go home and it's probably going to be her.
Yeah, Bobby, what about you? Are you a fan of this invisible HOH, or what do you think?
I think the concept was great. I think the execution and everything, I think it was fantastic. However, I still don't know how no one in the house saw her carrying the Wendy's bag into the diary room. Like, that still blows my mind that, like, no one could see her walking across the room with a Wendy's bag. Like, they had to have set something up. But even then, if they did put people in a room, wouldn't they know, okay, who's not here? Like, there's so many questions I have about that scenario. But hey, beyond that... I just think that you're absolutely right, Brent, when you talk about Victoria. I think she's proven it this week. She wants to be the last female standing. She wants to be the last one there in the house. She wants to get to the end with these boys and say that she did it. I mean, that's why we've seen her nominations all season go the way they have. So that's my appreciation of the entire twist. But I think that the execution of it this week was not the exact way we wanted it to go down.
Yeah, just to be clear, the execution from Vic is not the way we wanted it to go down.
Sorry.
The show itself, I thought, did a great job. Yeah. Like, I mean, this wasn't an overarching twist that, you know, damaged the game in any way. It's the structure of the game is still the same. Five people still playing the veto. Like, all of that was in place. It was set up to be a home run week, and I think the producers are probably just tearing their hair out that they got a really weak nomination set in Boston because of the fact that there are obvious threats in the house and no one seems to be willing to deal with them at the moment. But credit to those guys for having the social game that gets them at least a jury at this point.
Yeah, I really like the twist. I hope that we see this again. Like,
me too.
This could be great. Like you said on Big Brother US, I hope they don't take what happened here and with some results-oriented thinking and scrap this, because I think it's a really good idea. It just so happens this is not really a cast that's afraid of making moves, certainly not Victoria. And we almost got this. This went down on the feeds. This is not really a spoiler because nothing ever came of it. But I invoked the Pax Bros last week from all the sus people were saying. Victoria almost put herself on the block, which would have been incredible.
Right.
That would have been the best thing ever. I wish that would have happened.
I still think that was a bunch of show. I think that she was like, never am I going to do that. She knew if she went on the block, she was gone in a heartbeat. I'm sorry, she was. And she has to sense that. This is another teeny bit of a spoiler, but there are people in the house that definitely know or very strongly suspect that Victoria is the invisible HOH. So, like, there's no way in the world that she should have done anything cute. I hate these nominations from the perspective of you're just, letting Ty and Jed run the show. But on the other hand, Ty is so lovable anyway. I kind of don't want him to go anywhere, certainly not before jury. So I'm actually okay with this outcome. The thing about Brayden and Austin is that I've loved them together separately. I really am intrigued to see what happens with Brayden once he's by himself. I saw Brayden on the feeds today lamenting the fact that Austin's about to leave and he's got to hang out with people who he absolutely has nothing in common with and can't just let down his hair with. So I'm intrigued to see like what happens when you're forced to do that for $100,000. I mean, like, if you have it within you to win $100,000, you should be able to get along with people that you actually don't have a ton in common with, Brayden. So let's see it.
I would hope so. This week for Victoria, you said that she's not really hiding it so well. There are some people in the house who are suspicious of this. She's also really continuing to cozy up to Jed and Ty. Is your love, Brent, for Victoria waned at all? You were very high on her last week. I, however, think she's playing with fire here. I think she's backing herself into an unwinnable situation.
Well, obviously, like, she's so enamored with these two boys that I don't even think her eye is on the ball anymore. She just wants to make them happy and be seen as some sort of a hero to them. I'm not sure exactly what's at play. And so, I can't get into her head, nor would I want to, for that matter. But I do think that she's still a fun player. She's certainly at the top of many people's hit lists. I mean, she's not hit. Like, here's the thing. She's playing the Brent Wagamon strategy. She is not in the shadows. She's out in front. Like, everyone knows, even though she is the one person in the house, after Austin goes home, to not have a partner with her after, Ro lost his partner. She doesn't have a partner, and yet she is large and in charge in that house. Everyone is aware of her presence. Everyone knows, even the people working with her, Jed and Ty, feel like that sooner rather than later, she needs to go. And that's because she's seen as a threat. I mean, she's seen as someone who is a mover and shaker in the house. And so obviously I worry about her game long term, but in the short term, I'm loving her. I don't love these nominations, but she can't bet 1,000. You got to bat 300 and you're still a winning player in baseball. And right now she's batting about 300. So let's see what happens.
All right. Well, we open the episode and we have this apology tour from the house to Austin and Brayden. Victoria maybe isn't selling it later on, but she is really selling it pretty hard going up there. And she is starting to get emotional. Bobby, how do you feel like she was playing this post-nomination interaction?
I mean, it was very dramatic. Like, the whole thing, I don't know. For me, if I were in the house guest shoes, I feel like I would be able to see right through it. I mean, the way she was acting, you already had your questions about her to begin with. And then you see her being like, oh my gosh, I can't believe someone would do this. What's going on? Like, I don't know. I know it's different when you're in the house. You don't know 100% what's going on. You don't see what we see. But I feel like there's a way to read people and understand, okay, that person's full of shit and the other person's not. Like, I just see it coming from her. And maybe that's me being on the outside. But to me, every time I look at her, I'm just like, wow, that's way too over the top. Like, that's so predictable. And I mean, credit to her. Like, for the most part, I feel like at points she's gone and done great with that. She's been able to get away scot-free of a ton of things. Now, I feel like things are starting to catch up to her. I do think that she's leaving a little bit of breadcrumbs that are leading up to her and making people being very sus of her and understanding that maybe she is playing a bigger game than they really give her credit for. They're understanding, like Brent said, she is a power player in this game and she's making moves. Whether you see it to your face or not. My biggest problem, though, is, and maybe we'll get to this more, is when you go back to her putting up people for slop, she puts herself up on slop, and she puts the two nominees and she puts the last HOH up. That's just like a bullseye of, oh, yes, I'm the HOH. I'm the hidden power. I'm the one doing it. Because if that's what someone was trying to do, they'd be doing that to kind of get the pressure off of them. That's just obvious. So I feel like if you're going to do that, you got to nominate all different directions. You cannot just go one direction and be like, okay, my nominee's the last one, that can't be it. And then, oh yeah, me, because I was it twice. Like, there's so many problems I have with that scenario. One, that she tells people, oh, hey, or I think she told Jed, yeah, I got the slot pass. But then she doesn't use it when she's on it for the second week in a row, and she's totally fine with it. Like, there's just so many things that add up to, okay, yeah, this has to be it. So that's where I go with it.
That's a very fair point. She's very messy. I forgot about the slot pass, but obviously that definitely exposes her, because why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you use it? Like, I just don't understand her thinking in that. And obviously it's a red flag. You know, the two nominees are on the block, the outgoing HOH or whatever. And then they put, and she puts herself on the block as that's who's on slop, right? It's the outgoing HOH, the two nominees and her. That's it. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. So like, I mean, my gosh, like I don't understand where she's coming from, but she's the kind of person who can be a little bit too cute by half. And I think that here's the thing about her. She's the biggest believer in her own plans. Like, whatever she thinks of, it's absolutely golden. And I absolutely love that about her, because if you don't believe in yourself, it's like RuPaul says, you better believe in yourself. And if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. Can I get an amen up in here? I'm sure Victoria would agree with that. So I still find it in my heart that I'm rooting for her. I really am.
Yeah, well, I think RuPaul loves the RuPaul cast. They're all believing in themselves a whole lot. Yes. Oh my goodness. Right? I've never seen so much self-congratulation from like Ro and Kiefer and these people who have no business celebrating how good they are at Big Brother, but that's okay.
And it doesn't help that Kiefer is totally blowing her up too, being like, oh, you're the best to ever play. I can't believe how good you're playing this game. Like,
oh, that's the best part.
Oh, it's adding so much ammo.
Yeah. Because like, she already thinks that about herself. So the fact that he's also doing it, like, you know, and that's the thing that all the house guests suspect her as being the HOH. Beth, Ty, Jed, they all suspect Vic as being the HOH, because they know that most people would have put them up. Since no one put them up, it's obviously someone who likes them, but it's not them, because they would have leveled with each other. So it's got to be Vic. Like, they've put the pieces of the puzzle together. They know that it's Victoria. So when they're around Victoria, they're just going on and on about how this HOH is, you know, wow, this HOH is great. And like, I love this twist, and whoever the HOH is, they did it right. And, you know, I'm sure Canada loves this HOH, the invisible HOH. And like, they're definitely feeding her some hot air. So it's not just Kiefer. It's definitely everybody in the house.
Yeah. Yeah, and we see Brayden and Austin, they're initially suspicious of Ty, and they're just going on and on. Whoever did this is evil. Not only did they put us up together, they put us on slop again. It's starting to feel vindictive, and this is, again, why I think Victoria, not only is she making the wrong move for her game by not targeting Jed and Ty, I believe, she's also making herself look like a big threat by being shady and schemey when it does come out, and it will come out, that this was her all along, if everyone isn't onto that already. And then also, she's exposing herself as being pretty vindictive. So she's now gone from like this lovable, like she makes the house fun and she's twerking and wearing earrings and pink hair, to she's vindictive, she's schemey, and she's a sloppy player. This is like the exact opposite of what I would want in the house with me playing Big Brother ever.
Right. And she's a major threat to win the game. Like, people view her, they're like, okay, if she won the HOH, and most people know this, I will say that this is one of the bad ramifications of having a show that airs on Wednesday night when the veto ceremony took place on Monday morning. Like, I mean, by now, most people know that Victoria is the HOH. Like, I really don't think that most of the people in the house believe that Ty is the invisible HOH. So, like, that's something that you really have to keep in mind. There's a little bit of a delay there. But overall, like, I mean, if she wanted to play it right, she should have done this a different way. But this is the path that she's decided to chart. Obviously, she has some things at the forefront of her mind that she wants to get done. There's some people that she wants to protect. And you have to play Big Brother the way you want to play it. At this point, at least she's playing. There's, you know, I mean, say what you want about Brayden and Austin. I know that some people are bummed that one of them is going to go home this week. But Victoria's playing hard, and she only knows one speed. And I got to respect that. I mean, she's probably going to get evicted, but, you know, I'm sure on the way out the door, she's going to be saying how fabulous she was.
Hey, if she loves it, that's all that matters.
Right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so I guess let's talk a little bit about Jed and Ty at this point, because we see him in the episode excessively celebrating with Beth. You know what? Let's count Beth in it. The thruple is here to stay.
Oh, yes. Yeah, she's very much there. Yes.
Yeah, and Kiefer's randomly in the background, too, while they're celebrating.
Which is so perfect. So perfect. I love the fact that he's, like, the awkward tag-along. Like, he's in there celebrating, like, with them. But it's obvious, like, they didn't care about Kiefer. Yeah. And Kiefer's sort of aware of the fact that he's at the bottom of the totem pole with them. And he's still trying to, like, awkwardly fit in with them. Like, it's funny at this point,
yeah,
but whatever.
It's like he'd be a third wheel on the date, but he's the fourth wheel because it's a triple date. Very, very unusual visual, but
yes. Yes.
Absolutely. No, I find this so interesting because I think in a normal season, and you know, there's been so much comparison of Jed and Ty to like these other like alpha bro couples, like not couples, sorry, duos who have done so well in Big Brother. But like they're not winning anything. You've got these betas like the Victoria and the Kiefer who are so beta to Ty and Jed, but then they're giving them all this power. It's very frustrating to watch. I don't know what happened in Kiefer or Victoria's childhood that they are like so sucking up to them and wanting to be part of the cool clique so badly, but it's really painful to watch.
I mean, I don't know, Bobby, what do you think? I mean, I feel like that from my perspective, I mean, first of all, it is tough for me to like heterosexual alpha bros. And yet I'm rooting for these two guys and it's because they are so charming and they're polite and they're good natured. And like, I feel like if I was in the house, like I would want to go to the end with them, even though they're major threats to win the game. But I would love to go to the end with them because they're just great people to be around. Now Beth can go to hell. She can, you know, I don't care about her, but Jed and Ty are just, they're so charming. And I just think they're really good people. And it's hard not to root against them. Someone asked me on Instagram who I'm rooting for this season. Obviously, I'm rooting for Jed and Ty, but specifically Ty. I just think he has a great heart about him. He doesn't really play the game that I would play. Like, I mean, obviously, I play more balls out, but he's got a great mind about him. He's very likable in the house. Everyone seems to get along with him. He's very affable. And that's just a deadly combination in a game like this.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I kind of agree with both of you in certain things. I definitely do like those two, Brent. I do think that they are very likable for playing that bro type of persona, for being those stereotypes or character types in this house. They are two of the more likable ones we've had in recent years. So I feel bad even putting them in that category because I don't see them as that, but that's how they're being characterized in this narrative, in this season. So I do agree with you. I think they're very likable. They're not two bad people at all. They're very, very nice guys from what we've seen. And they're playing a good game. They're playing a halfway decent game. But they haven't touched a block. They've been able to protect themselves and protect their allies. And as for the others, I don't get Kiefer's position at all. I don't understand why he's okay being the fourth. I feel like he could easily go with Tina and Tara and be a third. Like, no problem, be a third, and even possibly be a two somehow if somehow he ends up being left with some one of those two left in the house. I think that he could easily be a three, possible two in that situation. Here, he's always going to be a four. He's going to be a four, and then he'll always be a three. He'll never be further than that. So
the worst
that
part
situation
is,
makes no sense.
Yeah, the worst part is he's actually worse than that. I mean, he's not even a four. Like, little does he know, but Jed and Beth were talking earlier this week, and Kiefer's at the top of their hit list. I mean, he's not, like, number one, but he's, you know, right behind Victoria. I mean, like, they see him as a competition beast. They see him as someone who could win at the end of the game. Like, that loyalty is not being repaid from their point of view. It's like, yeah, thanks for doing something nice for us, but we don't really need you in this game. And they don't. I mean, we're about to be down to nine players and unbelievably a thruple that has been together from basically day one is about to make it totally intact to jury. That is monumental.
Right?
Yes, that is a... I mean, I think they won a veto at some point.
Yeah,
they're
not steamrolling.
They're not the movers and shakers in the house, exactly. But they're about to literally control a third of the jury, more than that, because obviously the jury is seven people, and there's a third of the people who make jury. That's what I'm trying to say, and that's amazing to me. Like when there's so they're so out in front. I mean, talk about Victoria being out in front. Those two boys with Beth, I mean, like, they've been at the forefront of everyone's thoughts for the longest time. I think with Kiefer, it's a little bit like, he's such a loyal guy. I know that is so antiquated in the game of Big Brother that we play in 2021, but he is such a loyal guy. He really wants to go down with the ship. And I think that it's probably going to bite him in the butt. I thought that the LaToya week would wake him up, in that I thought he would see, hey, if push comes to shove, I'm at the bottom of their list. I think he took it the other way, as in, well, this is a shitty situation. Obviously, they love Toya more than me, but they still love me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's misplaced that loyalty, because obviously they do not feel the same way about him.
Yeah, I feel like the obvious move for Kiefer is, given how good of a spot he's in with Tina and Tara, and now he's working this relationship with Vic really well, go with Tina and Tara, pull Vic over. That's a really strong group, especially for Kiefer's spot in the game. Like, his path is just so clear. It's really, really hard to see him settle for the fourth spot he's in due to loyalty and due to wanting to be friends with guys who are really nice. I agree with you, but
I still feel like his path is very good, because just of the machinations of the game, like, so many people are going to want to put up Ro, so many people are going to want to put up Jed and Ty. I don't know anybody who necessarily is going to come exactly for Kiefer. And once that happens, whichever way it goes, let me put it this way. At some point, somebody's going to put Jed and Ty on the block. Okay. I feel like at that point, he's great, because he's like, look, my hands are tied. I have to vote for one of you. He just can't be the one to do it unless he absolutely has to be. Sort of like what happened to Steve in Big Brother 17, where he had to put the Oz twins on the block. But you saw how that was. Like, if Steve won that HOH, and even still, he was in dire straits going into the veto, like, where, his HOH could have gotten blown up. So you really, when there's three people involved, you really have to deal with them quickly rather than later, because if you don't deal with them, they literally might be unstoppable. Like, I mean, people credit Steve for winning Big Brother 17 in the United States, but God damn it, he shouldn't have. I mean, he should have lost control of his HOH during the final six. He won HOH and he put the two twins on the block, I'm sorry, he put Austin and Liz on the block. And Julia, if she won that veto, would have been able to take Liz down. They would have controlled the votes, because there was only three votes, and it would have been able to save Austin. So my point being that when three people are involved, it is a danger to everyone else in the game, and including Kiefer. And the fact that he can't recognize that right now is problematic, but he still has a little time, but not much.
Yeah, Brent, you're absolutely correct. Like, and just on a little side tangent, Brent, you know this. I was in the crowd when Austin was evicted and walked out on Big Brother 17. Yeah. I was texting him all the information. But I went into that thinking Steve was gone because of the position he was in. And I see a similar position for Kiefer. I don't think Kiefer has the ability to wiggle his way out and show that he played a good enough game in the end to be in that position that Steve was in. I think that I just don't see any light at the end of the tunnel if he sticks in the same position, if he sticks in this team, which, God love him, he's very loyal to his team, but I just don't see it.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how his game develops. I am losing hope for Kiefer's game all along. He's I've ridden the waves with Kiefer, been up and down on him, and I'm now thinking he's going to kind of just...
Here's the thing. As we always say in poker, it's better to be lucky rather than good. And Kiefer may be lucky. He may be lucky, because don't look now, but there are not one, but two goats in the game that he might benefit from. Both Tara and Beth are remaining in the game. They're both going to be making it to jury. And I think who the hell is going to take them out? Seriously, are they really, now that they're in jury, are you really going to take them out? You shouldn't. I really, really hope that Kiefer has an opportunity to get to the end with one of them. Here's the thing. People want a rant from me, but the problem is I don't really dislike anybody in the game. Like, even, I mean, Tara obviously has her problems, but she's obviously a wackadoodle in most respects. So it's hard for me to work up that sort of consternation for somebody like her. But everybody else in the house, like, has a generally Canada-esque personality. There are people that you like, and because of that, I'm kind of liking everybody right now. So I don't really have a rant for anybody, but the people I can rant about are the people who aren't playing the game to the best of their ability. And obviously one of those people is Kiefer. And obviously somebody in the chat said something about Bede Beyond. I think it's supposed to be a play on the phrase Bed Beyond. Says Brent dragged Kiefer for his Roe hate. And obviously that is a problem. It's not just that he hates Roe. It's that from my perspective, he seems unwilling to work with him. And obviously Roe is a singleton in the house right now. He doesn't have anybody. Like if there's somebody who needs somebody who's willing to work with you, who only thinks about the game, it's Roe. And the fact that he can't see through what happened in week two and get over it to work with Roe is a problem.
Yeah. Well, since Brent's loving everything, that's not good. Let's get to something we all hate. It's Q&A on the slop phone time. This segment was so fun. Thanks, TikTok.
Yeah, this fell so flat. I mean, and we didn't even get the good ones either. Like this is terrible. Like what? I can't even believe that somebody saw this and said, you know what? Let's include it in the show. These clips are good enough. We can put that on the live show or on the main show, and people will love it because it was a snooze fest. I can't even believe they showed it.
No, well, they needed to figure out how to give Tara some screen time. And since nothing she says in the house is showable on primetime television, they're going to have to go with this. They're just showing the fridge. So,
yes.
Oh, yeah, boy. What was that? It was just terrible. I mean, there was just no point in that I was just like, oh, man, I can't wait to see what they say to themselves on TV. Like, it was just so cringeworthy.
Yeah, you know, I thought I didn't get TikTok. I really don't get people watching TikToks of themselves. That I definitely don't get.
Right? So, no. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Pass.
Yeah. Let's get into the POV. It's the veto poll. Victoria pulls herself.
You know what? Credit to them. I'm sorry, but I swear to God, Big Brother US would have just had us take their word for it that the HOH pulled themselves. I love the fact that they showed the actual draw in the diary room hours earlier and showed Victoria drawing herself. I'm just, those are little things that can drive Big Brother fans crazy when we feel like things are a little, you know, put our tinfoil hat on and feel like things are a little rigged. So the fact that we actually saw the veto draw in the diary room, like, I want to give the producers credit for that. Thank you for showing us that.
Little did we know they were all Victoria chips inside bag, and there was no one there to double check them.
Oh, that's good. And then it's just what they hoped. It's Ty and Roe who have said they're going to use the veto on them. So this is a great pull for Austin.
It's a great draw for Austin and Braden. They are living large at this moment. And did you see when we saw the winner won the veto and Austin comes running over to him like, oh my God, you won. Like that's all peaches and cream from here.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. No. We see Austin and Roe talking, and Austin confirms not once, not twice, but three times with Roe that he will indeed be using the veto to take her down. And he confirms every time. Yeah, absolutely. And they're still trusting Victoria at this point, which I also find interesting.
Yeah, two things. Number one, I don't understand why he did this. I do think there was an out for him. To say, look, obviously I want to use the veto. Obviously I want to use the veto. It's scary with an invisible HOH though, for a variety of reasons. Like, you know, I'm putting everybody in danger. I don't know who would go up as a replacement. I'm trying to look at it from everybody's perspective, but I do think that he overplayed his hand a little bit here. He did not need to, I know she cornered him, but I feel like he could have phrased it in a way where it didn't give her absolute certainty that he was going to use it. On the other hand, you know what? If he had told her basically 99% I'm going to use the veto and still left himself an out, she still would have been pissed anyway. So I don't know that it really matters.
Sure. I guess my consternation with Roe is not even so much that he kept swearing on this, but who's he protecting? Who does he think he's with? I'm very confused on who exactly Roe is threatened.
I think Roe thinks he's a master strategist. He obviously, you know, again, it's like Stephen Fishbeck always says on the know-it-alls, everyone's a legend in their own mind. Everyone is the hero of their own narrative. Everyone's the teller of their own story. And I think Roe thinks from his perspective that he's playing the house, that without Kyle in the house, everyone's going to forget about him. Little does he know he's at the forefront of people's minds because he's always thinking about game and can't keep his mouth shut. But he thinks that he would expose all of these people that he's working with. He thinks the boys think that he's with them. He thinks that Tina and Tara think he's with them. Like, and he just... That from my perspective, that's what he was thinking. He overestimates his ability to control a house. He thinks he's the master strategist. And I understand where he's coming from if he was in the position that he thinks he's actually in. If he actually was controlling the house and was in with all these people and they trusted him and has sort of forgotten about him once Kyle was evicted, then definitely don't use the veto. The issue is that he's not that person. He is a much worse player than that. And obviously, this brought back emanations of Peter Brown when he had the opportunity to use the veto on Topaz. And I know that that was a different situation. And I know that there's an invisible HOH. I get that. And the other fly in the ointment is the fact that he can't save both of them. He can only save one of them, even though they viewed it as him saving both of them. But I do sort of take Austin's point here that if he used the veto on Austin, I do think that Brayden would have got the votes to stay. I really do. And that would have had, he would have had two valuable allies with him to support his cause. But on the other hand, he doesn't see the game from that perspective. He sees them as a sinking ship, and he sees the ship that's forming in the house to be all of these other people put together, and he doesn't want to jump off that ship onto this tiny ship that's sinking at the moment. So that's why he didn't use the veto. Obviously, I'm a big believer in taking a swing when you have the opportunity. So if you're not sure about it, take the swing, because it's so much easier to forgive yourself after the fact if you took the swing and it didn't work out. But if you stand back and let the ball go over the plate and you didn't swing at it, you're really going to think about it for the rest of your Big Brother career. And I think that's where he is right now.
Yeah, I was trying to think through all the scenarios. Like, okay, so in Ro's mind, I know that he's been misted by Jed and Ty doing almost nothing, but just hanging out with him and being cool. I guess he's looking at that mind. He wants to protect them because he's working with them. Okay. So he's worried about the invisible HOH, but the invisible HOH didn't go after them in the first place. So the invisible HOH is probably not going to go after them again, presumptively. Like, I just don't understand. Is he trying to protect Tina, Tara, Victoria? Like, none of these people seem like they need to be priorities to Ro, but it seems like if they're not going to put up Jed and Ty from the start, he probably has to assume it's Beth, Jed, or Ty, or Kiefer who are the HOH. So I don't understand his mindset then to not use the veto. Whatever. Ro's the veto king, but
right. Oh. Well, it's also very scary from his point of view too, because if Jed or Ty go up on the block, I mean, let's look at the numbers. There's 10 people currently in the house. Obviously, 7 people are voting. I'm sorry, 8 people are voting because there is an HOH. I think in this case, right? How many people are there? There's 10 people in the house, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So. Cool. Sorry. So eight people voting and 2 people on the block. I'm pretty sure if there was a tie, I don't know if the HOH would break it or the veto holder would break it. I'm not sure exactly how that goes. But the point being that the Sunsetters still have a lot of people: Jed, Ty, Beth, Kiefer, even Victoria. I would put with them at this point. You don't know the way the numbers would go, so he could save somebody, shoot himself in the foot, tie himself to somebody like Austin, and still watch Brayden get evicted. I think that's probably where he was coming from more than anything, was that even if he made this move, which he would have liked to have done, and he did love Austin, like he wanted to try to save her because he likes her very much and they were loyal to each other, but he just couldn't guarantee that Brayden was going to stay even if he did stick his neck out for Austin and use the veto. So I think that's probably where he was coming from. But on the other hand, I would have used it. I really would have.
And as far as Rohan, I really wanted to like him going into this game, and I still don't mind him. I think he's an enjoyable character, but like the way he talks to people in the house, I feel like to them it comes off a little condescending, or he's talking down to him like he knows more about this game than they do. And I think that's been off-putting to people from the very start. And I think that got him off to a rough start in this game just to begin with. And then all the other things about the untrust, him and Kyle being untrustworthy and different things, trying to go different directions with their alliances. I think that's all come to head. And now when he's put in this position where he has the opportunity to take off Austin off the block, he says he's going to, then he backtracks. It's really going to put a signal in people's heads, man, this guy can't be trusted. He's going to tell you one thing and do another, especially Brayden. Now Brayden's not going to be able to trust him the rest of the game because he didn't live up to his word when they needed him most. So I think that he just keeps stabbing himself in the foot and really hurting his own game. I think he's one of the top guys to potentially be walked out the door the next week, depending on who wins HOH. And I think there's a lot of people that could put him up, even if it's just as a pawn situation, and he could still go home. So I think that he keeps digging his own grave, and I want to like him. I think he's a capable player. I just think that he's not thinking of every scenario and how to play to his best potential. You can't be friends with everyone. You can't think you have something with everyone. You got to make your side and go with it, and kind of like what Kiefer's doing, but I guess in a better way than that.
Right, and that's the thing is that earlier in the game, he was somebody who was of the mentality, let's get a side together and go with it. I mean, that's what his mentality was, and I think he's sort of been lulled into a sense of complacency by the social game of Jed and Ty into thinking, hey, no one's really coming after you anymore. You're in good with us. And so the sides are more blurred in his mind, and he doesn't have a team. He sort of just thinks he's with the entire house, but in reality, like, it's, again, it's all about perception. It's about how he perceives it, but what is the reality? He perceives it as everyone is on my side. No one thinks about me because I'm by myself. But in reality, everyone is looking at him because he is a threat to win the game, and obviously somebody who can't, he can't stop talking about game, and he can't stop overplaying his hand, which we'll get into in the feed section.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about BB Can Condos. We're laying some beam in the BB Can backyard. So this
No. Sorry, with me on a podcast, we're laying some pipe. That's what we're doing. Okay.
Setting me up. I was right there.
Right. Yeah.
And somehow Braden's not good at it. Come
on, Braden. I know, right? What happened there, Braden? I'm disappointed. Oh my god.
Yeah, we get that on the feed too about Braden laying pipe. I don't know. But we get a puzzle and a balance beam. This had to be exactly, again, what Austin's looking for here. She's talked on end about how good she is at puzzles.
Will tell you, yes.
Yeah. How close was she? I didn't really get a good look at it. I mean, it seemed to me like Ro really ran away with this one.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, she kept lamenting after the fact. Oh, I could see how it looked. I knew how it would. Well, obviously you did, because you could see Ro's like almost perfectly put together puzzle when he rang in for a check. I love seeing that too. A lot of times you just see them ring in and then they go ding, 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 ding. Like, that's how it actually works in Big Brother, is that they go check and then they give them the ding, ding, ding. And then you see the reaction. Like, that's how it usually goes. So we got to see that. And I'm sure she looked at his puzzle the first time around and thought, oh, okay, that's what it's supposed to look like. And obviously you could see the colors lined up on at least two sides that she could see. But from my perspective, it didn't look like she was really that close, you guys. Like, she still didn't have the puzzle pieces themselves put together, even if she knew what the final structure actually looked like.
Yeah, when they did the overview, you could see it. You could see that she wasn't even close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. I appreciated Ro. Like, you know, if he's going to back up how smart he is and what a strategist he is, he knows how to do puzzles. I'll give him that, because he knew not to approach this and look at the shapes like everyone else was doing. He was looking just at the images and the colors. Good approach to one of these 3D puzzles. He wasn't going to be Caitlin in this scenario. Good job.
Yes.
Oh, boy. So we then get to see Victoria back in the house after Ro wins, and she wants to cause some drama, cause some chaos, because she hasn't done that enough. So she approaches Tina and Tara, and she has some story about Austin gunning for them now, because it's some convoluted story about, I don't understand what she was trying to say. Was there any accuracy to this? Did Austin say any of this?
I mean, they were talking about the fact that, you know, obviously they're going to go after duos, and who would the HOH put up if it's somebody from the Jed Ty side of things? Like, obviously they're probably going to put up Tina or Tara. Like, I think that's where Austin was coming from. I'm sure I'd have to go back and listen to the conversation, but she said it to some effect, Bobby, and then that was enough for Victoria to take it and run with it. But that's how Big Brother's played. That's what you do. Somebody says something and they give you an inch and you take a mile, and you go retell the story in a fashion that is your own way and spends it to your own advantage. And I mean, credit to Victoria for putting enough pressure on Ro so that he felt like he couldn't use the veto. Although, to be fair, even without her doing what she was doing, I don't think he was ever going to use it.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like it was a little bit of sloppy play on Victoria. It could have really come back and bit her in the ass if, you know, she said too much to the wrong people and somehow it got back to Austin and Braden. I think they could have totally thrown her under the bus and said, no, we never did this. This is why we shouldn't trust her. I think it could all come crumbling down, because she's getting to the point in her game now. As much as I love her as a character on my TV, I feel like she's starting to get a little sloppy. She's a little bit going down the I can gossip about everything and get away with anything because I'm the best player to ever play this game. And I feel like she's come very close multiple times to having her bite her in the butt. And I think it's bound to happen. I think she's already starting to side that way because people are figuring out, oh, yeah, she's the HOH just by little things she's giving people. In this situation, you're 100% correct, Brent. She took an inch, or they gave an inch and she took a mile because all they were really talking about was, this is a scenario we think will happen if these guys are the ones that are in power. It was nothing to the effect of, oh, no, they told us that they're going to do this if I come down or if he comes down. No, they were just suspecting of what the possible scenarios were with that being the HOH. So for her to do that, knowing she's the HOH, knowing she has the power to control whatever she wants to do, I feel like it worked out for her. But if she keeps going at this pace, there's no way in my mind she makes it to the end.
No, especially not if you're running to Tara with information, who is immediately irate and yelling at the top of the stairs. Like, someone's going to hear what that's about, and it's going to blow up the whole house. Yeah, that's not the person to go gossip to. I think that is potentially an issue. I don't know. Maybe she's onto something, though, because whatever she was telling them was so convoluted. I watched it, paused it, and tried to listen to what the hell she was saying again, and I couldn't make it out what exactly Austin and Braden allegedly said. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's her move. Be so inarticulate that if you get caught out, you're like, that's not what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a good strategy. I don't know.
Right. You know what? I mean, she's playing the game. She's playing hard. She's trying. Let's give her credit for that. I mean,
I like it.
The thing about Big Brother Canada right now, from my perspective, is that you really have so many people. I won't say everybody, but you have so many people who are really trying hard to play the game, who want to win, who see a path for themselves to get to the end. And I just can't say that about most of the US versions lately. I really can't, even some of the Canadian versions that I've seen lately. So it's just nice to see everyone playing hard and really wanting to find a way to get to the end of the game, who actually care about winning and don't just want to make jury together. Obviously, that's a goal for many people to make jury, but everyone seems to want to win the game and wants to do what they need to do to get to the end. Again, there are a few people we don't think have their head on straight. Kiefer, Victoria, obviously wanting to go to the end with these boys. I don't think that's a good idea for them, but I think the natural course of the game will work itself out in such a way where one of Ty or Jed will go on the block, or both of them will go on the block. One of them will go home. And once that happens, I think their path gets a little easier then.
Yeah. Invisible HOH, Victoria continues to exert her moves after that and is approaching Ro, telling him, everyone says you need to not do the veto. I liked this move. I thought this was, it's kind of tricky because the HOH normally gets to talk to the veto holder and do some sort of communication. I like this if she just is kind of going up saying, the vibe I'm getting is really no one wants you to play it. Like, this vibe I'm getting, that kind of can't come back on her. That's pretty smart, I think. If she's
I like that a lot.
This is a good move. I'm pro how she manipulates Ro here a little bit. Again, I think he messed up royally. But good on Victoria for this one. We then get to see Austin, and she's fake crying with Jed and Beth. crying. I didn't really see any tears. How do we rate Austin's fake crying performance out of 10?
Oh, I'm sorry. Where's my paddle at? Give her a 1 on that one. The fake crying. No, I don't think anybody bought it. And worse, here's the thing about the fake crying. When somebody cries, your natural inclination is like, oh, let me comfort them. No one gave a fuck. They didn't care about Austin crying. They're still going to evict her. They're still going to say her name on Thursday night. So it didn't do anything that she wanted it to accomplish.
Yeah, it's a 1 for me as well. That was just the worst cry session I have ever seen. Like, the fact that you clearly do not show any tears, you clearly just still have the same, composure on your face, and then you have the audacity in the diary room to be like, see, I've got it all and can turn it on and off. Like, just stop. Like, you're not getting anyone to like you more because you know how to fake cry, even though you don't know how to fake cry. Like, this is the worst type of TV character, in my opinion. But hey, God bless her.
I think it's so funny. Like, I think that a lot of these players are not actually that bad. They're just maybe a little messy, but the way they talk about themselves in the diary room and to each other, they're making it out like they're the best players that have ever existed. So I feel like
that's
awesome.
It.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yes. I mean, like, the thing is, when I was playing Sequester, I remember doing confessionals like this, but I never, ever thought I was in control of the game. I never, ever did. I was, like, literally holding on by the skin of my teeth. So I would love to be in their shoes and to think, oh, my God, I'm so freaking good at this game. How awesome am I? You know, like, I'm ruling everyone and everyone loves me. Like, I never had that experience. So I can only say good luck to these people who seem to be so lucky.
And I also this though, Brent, I do agree with you with this season. When was the last time this far into a season up to jury now that we have seen it go where it could go any direction, where it could go one side of the house or the other side of the house, and maybe up to like five or six people still have a very legitimate chance at winning this game with no one being the front runner? It's been a long time since that has happened. You know, we've always had at least one or two front runners.
Well, I'll say this, that I think there are seven people in the house that could win the game. I think there are two people that are literally drawing dead and they're going to have to get to the end with each other. Beth and Tara, obviously, I'm talking about, who they're going to have to get to the end with each other in order to have a chance.
Don't put that out there, Brent. No, no, they're not going to get to each other.
I'd say Brayden, too.
I think he's well-liked,
but do people literally think that he played the best game? Like, unless he's sitting next to those two.
I think right now that's fair, but once Austin's gone, he's going to have to play a new game, and
that's
like, let's see what happens from here. Yeah,
that's the Brayden I want to see. I want to see what he is without this.
I still go back to the fact that Brayden is friends with Kirsten McInnes from RHAP. He was talked to before walking in the house. You know, and you know, I know people are like, well, Kirsten didn't even get into the house, but you know what? She fuck off, bitch. Like, she's a fan. She's like us. She lives and breathes Big Brother. I know that she talked to him about the game. So I have to think there's something there. The fact that he ran into somebody like Austin was maybe a bit of an unfortunate twist of fate, because like, we didn't get to see like the mover and shaker that he actually is. Like, maybe Brayden has a lot to give to this game, and it's sort of been neutered by Austin's, you know, gal pal presence in the house. And once she's gone, maybe we'll see a butterfly emerge from the cocoon. I'm intrigued to see what happens with Brayden.
I hope so. I hope so.
Well, everyone always says go to sleep until Jerry. He has effectively been sleeping, right? So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what he's got. And now I think he's got Ro lined up right there potentially to work with still, if he can get over not having the veto used this week. There's a lot of options. Like you're saying, this could break any direction. I still see Jed and Ty as obvious front runners just because their game is so good. But
I concur with you. I will say this about Brayden too. You know, the thing about being a fan of the game, he is actually an actual fan. You know that in Big Brother, you need to have a short memory. You can't hold on to the fact that Ro didn't use the veto. And also the fact that Ro does have a point. He does have a point. There's an invisible HOH. I have no fucking clue who could go up on the block. I know I told you I was going to use it. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But upon further reflection, it's not a good idea for me to use it. I just couldn't. I feel like somebody like Brayden, who is generally an amiable presence in the house, can get on board with that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Speaking of amiable presences, Beth in the pantry. Beth is saying who she chose here, and it's Jed.
I know, right?
The thruple is over. It's all Jed for Beth. Ty definitely had no say in this. Beth made her decision. You know, Beth's getting drug a lot all over the place. I honestly have no idea what she's doing in the house, but I was happy to hear that one of the reasons she chose Jed is gameplay. I was saying she could be like this Parvati that was promised. If she's going to really do this flirt card, I don't think that's what she's doing. But thoughts on Beth and Jed getting close and Ty being pushed a little out of the thruple?
I mean, I feel like that it's, I mean, I, well, first of all, I'm fine with it. I think that Ty is sort of cool, like being pushed to the side, because he understands that there's a little bit more chemistry between Jed and Beth, and she's having the time of her life in there. I mean, I'm so on board with Beth. I mean, obviously I don't love her from a game standpoint, but I love her more than Tara, and I love her more than a couple people currently in the house. I mean, being totally honest, I feel like people are really hard on Beth. For misogynistic reasons. I really do think that a lot of people are hard on Beth, because it's like, oh, in the back of your head, you're like, oh, she's just using them. She's a slut. She's a harlot. Like, I mean, I feel like those old antiquated views of women in reality TV sort of rear their head when talking about players such as Beth. And bitch, Beth is playing hard. she is playing really hard and she's there to win the money. Like, she's there to get to the end of the game. And she's always like, this is magnificent, spoiler-esque, but there's a comment made to her later on in the week by somebody who I won't say. And then she, of course, went running back to somebody to confirm something, which shows me she's got her head on straight. She wants to make sure she's not in a bad position in the game right now. She doesn't want to be seen as a fool. And obviously, if you're seen as a fool, like, I feel like that's the worst punishment for a Big Brother player or any reality TV player in the game, is if you come out of the house and people said, oh, you were such a fool for doing that. Like, because then you know, at least if you try and fail, you can live with yourself. But again, if you're a fool, like, you're going to be beating yourself up for falling for something for the rest of your life. So the fact that she wasn't just okay with that, I feel like, is a good sign for her.
Yeah. And first off, apologies if you hear the 5-month-old screaming her head off in the other room.
I don't hear anything.
Okay, good. Cool. Okay. I could hear that. Okay. I was making sure that freaked me out for a second. She's okay. Her mom's with her. As far as Beth, I feel like she is in an unfortunate situation in the fact that she's playing this game, which I feel like a lot of people make this mistake. She's playing this game with two players very tightly that everyone in this house feels like they're playing a better game than her. Like, no matter what, in everyone's head, those two will always be the better players. So in that instance, even if she is playing a good game, and even if she is doing things to help those guys get further in this game or help them make bonds in this house, she's always going to look at as a lesser player to everyone else in their eyes, because these guys are the top dogs. And usually this happens with males in the house over females. And it's unfortunate to say that. I hate that that's like that. We've seen some instances where the female has been the top one, but it's very few and far between, and it's always males. And I hate that we have to see that dynamic, especially in this day and age. I feel like players should be able to be whatever player they want to be and be judged as how good they are in this house just by how they're playing the game, not by the people that they're with. And I do think that she has some game potential. I have seen instances where she can make some right moves. And who cares which guy she chooses? I think that's kind of clouding her ability to play a better game, because people look at her as she's trying to pick a boyfriend more than she's trying to pick win the game. So I think that if she can calm that down, or if one of these guys goes, and let's say a Jed goes, I think we might be able to see more game out of her, and I would be really excited to see it, because I think right now she's in a position where she needs to start moving, or otherwise she will never win this game compared to everyone else.
Well, that's sort of what I was getting at. Like, I think if the throuple thing is out of her mind, if she's just with Jed now, this allows her so much more opportunity to start establishing herself as a game player. That's not her only narrative to the people in the house, that she's in this, like, throuple multiple showman situation. Also, I think, like, it's the same argument that we're saying a lot with Kiefer and Victoria, right? They're going to be protected because people are going to go to Jed and Ty first, probably, if they go with this, and they're just going to have to cut either Jed or Ty and go to the end with someone lesser. Like, she's in a very similar position to, like, a Kiefer right now, and she's not getting all this messy blood on her hands. So I think she's actually not in a bad spot if she does wake up and start making a couple moves. I think she could be in a really great spot. Side note, I would also love to see a recut version of this season just from Beth's perspective, with confessionals about what exactly is going on and her multiple relationships. I think that would be so much fun. Maybe a little like Are You the One style version of Big Brother Canada. I would dig that.
Yes. Sam makes a fair point in the chat. He says that Beth has said she's willing to take them out. But I would add a caveat to that, in that it's all about, like, her actions and what I see she's saying to other people. And I really don't see that she's willing to take them out. I think if push comes to shove, like, maybe she's willing to take them out at the final four, you know, but she's not willing to do anything right now. Like, she needs to do something way earlier than that. But I think in her heart of heart, she knows that somebody else in the house is going to do it, and then she'll have the remaining guy to go through the game with.
Yeah. Again, that sounds like a really good strategy. If someone takes the other guy out early enough, that's a really good strategy. We get to the POV ceremony, and nothing doing at all. This looks so savage. We have some savage gameplay this week, from Victoria, from Ro. It's a lot, but he doesn't use it.
Yeah, and he, I mean, a spoiler from the feeds, but he had told him, obviously, beforehand, hey, I'm not going to be able to use it. Obviously, we saw him, like, float the possibility that he wasn't going to use it on the show, but he had told them that, hey, I'm not going to be able to use it. He explained to them why. Obviously, they were fuming. Austin, in particular, knows she's probably dead woman walking if the veto doesn't get played, and it's got to suck for them, but, you know, it's I'm sure that they're cursing their luck, because if there was an HOH that you could see, I think that Roe would have used the veto. I do think he would have used the veto, because then he would have known who was going to go up as the replacement nominee. And that's what he needed to know, was who am I exposing to danger if I take you down, and what are the odds of keeping Braden? But unfortunately, he was flying in the dark, and that's why he ultimately decided not to use it. And now Austin's probably going to go home.
Yeah. Do we have a sense of who the replacement nominee would have been if he would have taken Austin down?
I think it was going to be Beth. I mean, Victoria was blaming Beth for everything.
Right. Like,
When people were talking about like who is the cause of this, I think that Victoria went out of her way, and we didn't see this on the episode, but she was really trying to make sure that Beth was blamed for a lot of stuff. And obviously that fit, because whoever was the invisible HOH didn't take a shot at Jed and Ty. And obviously Beth wouldn't take a shot at Jed and Ty. So it seemed like that that Beth was somebody who could be seen by some people as a possible HOH. So I think that Victoria would have put Beth on the block as a replacement. And, you know, I would have liked to have seen that vote for sure. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it would have been Beth. And then as far as Rohan is concerned, he's really just had the wrong read on this invisible HOH all week. We've seen in the episode where he was still up after the veto competition, saying that he still believes Ty's the one who was in control of it. So I just think he had the wrong read. He didn't know how it was going to play out. He didn't know who else would be put on the block. I completely agree with you, Brent. And I think that he let his head get in the way of maybe his social game with these people, and where his further game could get if he were to use the veto on Austin. I think that it would be a completely different week. And I think we could even see a big sway in the house had it not been an invisible HOH week. I think a lot of different outcomes could have come. And now I feel like it's 50-50 going into this new HOH.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad luck for Big Brother Canada with the invisible HOH, I think. Come back again next year. Try it again. So before we get into spoiler stuff, I want to touch a little bit on a looming double eviction. Do you guys have any sense? Is that going to happen? I know the house guests are certainly anticipating it.
I mean, usually Big Brother Canada does not like for the first juror to be by themselves. And the first juror obviously is going to be evicted next Thursday, assuming there's no twist involved with like a reset week or something. So I think that there could be a double eviction next Thursday, but obviously we'll know on tomorrow's show.
In which case, maybe the big move will be next week. All right. That could be very interesting.
I mean, look, I don't want to paint such a bad picture. I think there are a variety of people in the house that would put Jed and Ty on the block if they won HOH. Tara would, I think. Tina would. I don't think Kiefer would initially, but you know, if Ro did, I do think he would go after the boys. Like, I think there's quite a few people who would make the move that needs to be made at this point. And obviously there's other moves that can be made, but you know, other people have other ideas about what to do. But I do think that there are people in the house that know that, like, look, this has gone on for long enough. Like, there are three people all working together. There's only 9 of us left. Even Kiefer at this point has to see that something needs to be done.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, Brent, I haven't looked this far ahead, but do we know how the timeline works out with double eviction, possible triple eviction? Is that even a possibility?
That's the I don't think no way are they doing a triple eviction.
Yeah, I haven't looked that far ahead. Again,
they had normally started with 16 people, and they started with 14 people this time, which is amazing to me that we didn't get anybody as an add-on or anything. Who knows what they're going to do? I do think that a double is possible, but I don't know how it works out finale wise. Partly is saying there's 40 days left and only 9 house guests. So I'd have to look at that. I mean, there's ways the producers can do it if they just don't have any double evictions. Maybe we won't have a double eviction this year. I don't know. But like I said,
Either that or a jury battle back of some sort.
Yeah, jury buyback is obviously an option, but you know, I mean, That would be our luck, right? Somebody finally gets Jet or Ty out, and then they come running right back.
Oh, yeah,
in.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, fair enough. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and get into live feed spoilers. There's been a lot of crazy stuff happening on the live feeds. This season continues to impress, even if the gameplay is not super impressive in any given week. There are a lot of talking points. So if you're sticking around for live feed spoilers, we'll be talking about that in just a moment. Otherwise, thank you for listening, and we'll see you guys next week. But Brent, what are some of the big highlights from the live feeds?
The highlights from the live feeds is that Bray Bray is getting it on with Ty, and I'm living for it. Like, this is so funny to me. I saw, just to set the story, this is not like the main part of that I want to tell you guys about, but I have to lead with this because I told people I was going to talk about it. So Brayden he went to first base with Ty. Let's just say that he kissed him on the back of the neck. There was maybe some hand action going on a little bit. And Ty seems on board with this. Like, he's kind of, it's a little Kevin from Big Brother 5-esque in that he's sort of using Bray a little bit. He's like allowing him to get a little something, something in for maybe some return game wise. Look, Brayden is a free agent after tomorrow. It's very likely. In fact, I'm 100% sure that Austin is going to be evicted. So Brayden is going to make jury and he's going to be by himself. And who does he have the most in common with? He has the most in common with these boys. So I would love for something to happen between him and Ty. I don't think that, I think Ty is the kind of guy who's like, kind of like he's down for whatever. And here's the great thing about what's going on right now. So Brayden talked about it with Austin and Ty talked about it with Jed and Beth. And we're upfront about, hey, like, this happened between us. And from Brayden's perspective, he's like, well, what does this mean? I don't know. From Ty's perspective, he's like, you know, getting advice from Beth and Jed to, you know, maybe we can bring Brayden in. Like, if he likes you like that, you know, maybe we can use him in the game. And I saw some people who were, like, talking about, they accused Ty of queer baiting, which if you're using that word, you literally have no idea what that word fucking means. Like, these are two grown adults who are playing the game, a Big Brother, for $100,000. God bless them both. Brayden is living his best life in there. Ty is doing what he needs to do to save himself in the game, because spoiler alert, if those two boys go on the block, I think at this point in time, prior to him hooking up with Bray, that Ty would be the one evicted. I think most people would want to keep Jed because he's got the better social game in the house. He's the one who just seems to have more pull with people in the house. But if Ty has somebody in his corner like Bray, I think that those percentages start to turn and maybe he can be the one who stays if the unthinkable happens and Jed and Ty end up on the block together. I just think that these are two consenting adults who want to have a great time in the house. And I see absolutely nothing wrong with it. And also, like, the fact that we don't know what's in Ty's head either. It's not like he's totally using him. Like, he seemed down for whatever and like on the retail. And I think that both those guys are just having a great time in the house right now. So those views of gay men and straight men, and I use those terms sort of in quotes a little bit, are, in my view, a little antiquated. I think, you know, the younger people these days are a lot more fluid in how they view sexuality and what they are comfortable with. And the fact that Ty is comfortable with shows how great of a guy he is. And I love the fact that both of them are on TV and showing everybody what cool dudes they are and what they're down with.
Yeah, Ty's down for anything. You know, he's cool with a throuple. He's not threatened by Jed. He's not threatened. Like he seems like a very cool guy with his sexuality. I would not be worried about that at all. But what I am worried about is this is another satellite around the throuple. You've now got like Rose, Kiefer, Victoria, Brett, each one of them on an island almost, just thinking they're in with this throuple deal. Like, this could actually be a really genius, unintentional alliance structure that they're coming up with here.
I mean, I'll just say this, Bobby, like if Brayden actually falls for him and doesn't put the game first, then I think at this point they're basically handing him the game. Like they're handing them the game. I mean, and 100%. I think that he can have his cake and eat it too. I think that he literally can play around a little bit and get a little loving from Ty and yet put the game first and be like, look, I mean, this has to happen. I mean, I would love to see a Brayden HOH next week because he would have to feel the pressure of like, you have to put them on the block. Somebody has to put them on the block. Somebody has to do it. I would love for him to be the one to do it. I think he would probably pussy out. I don't mean to use that word, but he would probably pussy out and put Jed and Beth on the block and leave Ty off. I think he would probably do that, and that would create a really unique circumstance. So I would love to see that messiness next week.
Yeah, that whole situation, actually Partly Cloudy said in the comments, and it's very true. It's a very much so like a Kevin Martin situation. Yeah. However, I see this, and we saw Kevin Martin win almost because that whole situation happened, and he got saved that one week because he was in a
Yeah, people forget whatever. About that. Yeah, you know? People forget that the week that he was on the, because he was going to be evicted against Bruno. They both were on the block together. He was going to be evicted. And then all of a sudden the lights blared and Kevin was saved with the secret veto that William exactly. had. And it was all right. because of the relationship that Kevin had cultivated in the house with William. And by the way, I don't see anything wrong with what Kevin did either. They're, again, two exactly. consenting adults in the house. They're playing for money. They were both getting something out of it. Not only loving within the game, but also a place in the game. Obviously, Kevin would like to keep somebody like William in the game because he knows that William is loyal to him. Likewise, in this game, Ty, if push comes to shove, and they get a little bit closer, Ty is going to want to keep somebody like Brayden in the game over, you know, a Rohan or a Tara or a Tina. Like, he's going to want to do that because obviously he sees him as a more valuable piece in the game. And when reality TV and games are involved, I mean, nothing's off the table. So I want to see what happens from here.
I just hope the show actually shows it, because this could really set the tone for what happens this season. It could really, and yeah. it could be something as small as just flirting and just playing around, or it could turn into relationships forming as in partners in this game, trying to move forward together and bringing someone else into the fold and really just moving along in this game together. I don't think Brayden would let this get ahead of the game. I think Brayden's just trying to have fun, like you said. And as far as the whole percentages thing, that just, like, I'm still not understanding how that works out. Like, I just don't get percentages at all.
Can you explain this to the people who didn't watch the feeds, what you're talking about?
Yeah. So I guess, was it Brayden was talking about how he didn't want to share out loud what he did, but eventually some part that day he would share what percentage of how far they yes. went with each other. To her,
yeah, she was like demonstrating code. With like hand motions and acting it out with like percentages. Was it 15%? Was yes. it, you know, 35%? You know, like, and like
just saying it.
Yeah, I know, right? Just say it, for heaven's sake. Like, don't, so you know, acting it out was terrible. Yeah,
in Canada, do they do percentages instead of bases? Like, I know first base, second base. Like, I just don't know if that's how that works over there.
as far, I've never heard like, that before in my life, right?
Like, I have a 5-month-old, so in my case, it's 0%. So just right? saying, it was just a very interesting thing to watch, but. As far as game goes, I think this could really set the tone of the game, especially if they're able to bring Brayden in. And like we saw with Kevin Martin, it could really, really help his game going forward and possibly save him in certain situations.
Yeah, I know. I heard Jacob Jones on the RHAP recap in the morning saying he needs to see diary rooms in order to understand what's going on. But I don't have the faith in the producers that maybe he does. I don't know that we're going to get the diary room thoughts about this relationship unless it really comes to the forefront. I feel like we saw something from Kevin and William during Big Brother 5 because William had that stupid secret veto. But I don't know that we're necessarily going to hear anything from these boys on their thoughts on this subject unless it really comes to the fore.
Well, there's already so much they can't show. And if they feel like this isn't going to go anywhere, yeah, like, right. I don't know. I think they should show hand gestures. Why not?
Let's but right? didn't they That'd show the Kevin and William situation a little bit? Like, yeah, they showed us some stuff.
I know. Yeah.
It could. Yeah. If it plays out that way, I feel like it could. They could go down that path.
Yeah, they definitely showed the Kevin and William stuff. Can we talk about Rohan and him putting his foot in his mouth? Because
yes.
that's the person that I wanted to talk about who, if there's anybody I can rant about, it's Ro. Because I was really being kind to him in the first part of this podcast, saying that he overestimates his ability to control the game and where he is in the house and how he perceives himself, because he really views himself as a mover and shaker in the house. He views himself as far better of a player than he actually is. He's actually a pretty piss poor player. He doesn't understand social game. He can't think about anything except the game 100 times a day, like all of the time. any part of the time. And that's not good when you're playing a social game like Big Brother, especially a game that moves at a snail's pace like Big Brother does. And that's the thing I think he's not taking into account. He's viewing it more like a, honestly, like a game like Sequester that's moving at the speed of light, but he's not playing the speed of light game. He's playing a slow moving game like Big Brother. And what he did was he overestimated his connection to Beth. Beth is somebody who came to Ro earlier in the week and was like, you know, I'm starting to, basically she just put it out there. You know what? Eventually I know somebody has to take a shot at the guys. Like I get that, you know, like, I mean, I'm not a complete idiot. I understand if we win the game, we're going to have to take a shot at them. And he then proceeded to make her think that her relationship with Jed was a lie. I don't think he meant to do it this way, but he was like, you know what? That's a good idea. And would you consider turning on them next week? Because just so you know, Jed, he's totally using you. Like, that's not how he said it, but that's how she took it, was that Jed is totally using her. He doesn't have any real feelings for her. He's just using her in the game. And that, you know what? You know what that made her feel? That made her feel stupid. So what does she then do? She goes back to Jed, and of course, after 5 seconds, she's like, so what did you say? Did you say this to me? I mean, she didn't do it like that, but that's basically in her head what she needed to do. She needed to confirm, hey, Canada doesn't view me as a fucking idiot. Like, that's what she needed to find out, was like, am I being used by this guy? Is he laughing at me in the diary room? There was no way in the world that she could ever not go to go to Jed with that information. And then of course, when she did, she's like, well, obviously Ro said this to me. And then Ro went from being asleep in the game to the top of everyone's hit list at this point. So I think if any one of those guys wins HOH, Jed, Ty, Beth, Victoria, I think Ro could be nominated next week, and he doesn't even know it. He thinks that they're good and hunky-dory together, and in actuality, I think half the house would target him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't in a great spot even before that, so I...
Yeah,
that,
right?
Yeah, not good
the
for
ship that. Just keeps sinking lower.
I mean, this is sort of what we feared for him from the start, was like, this guy's gonna... I normally wouldn't say anyone really plays too hard too fast, but like, just always scheming.
Let me back up. So two things. Number one, he doesn't have the social capital with Beth to approach her with this information. He doesn't hang out with Beth. Number two, even if he did, to go and make Beth feel like a fucking idiot, which is how I would have felt if somebody said that to me, you know she's not going to keep that information to herself. She's going to go and rat you out. And then what's going to happen to you? Like, even if you're telling her the truth, even if he did actually say that, which I've never heard him say that, but even if he did, like, you know, imply that he is using Beth, like, even if that was a true story, like, he's going to deny it to her. She's going to believe him. And then they're both going to come after you. Like, that's just the way the game works. And he should know better. So he didn't think... It's like he's willing to think from A to B, but he can't think from A to B to C. And in a game like Big Brother, you're going to have to think all the way to D in order to win. And he's not capable of doing that.
Yeah.
It's
always a shot if you're delivering bad news. Like, you got to really think through what your end game is with that bad news.
That's the thing. No one ever likes... Thank you for bringing that up. Like, no one ever likes the messenger. You think, oh, well, don't shoot the messenger. But people always shoot the messenger in Big Brother. They always do. Especially don't bring people bad news. They don't want to hear it. You think, oh, well, look, it's not my fault I'm bringing you this bad news. But people always blame the messenger because they can't blame anybody else.
And it's also kind of a case of just boredom in this house. It might have been a case of just trying to start something or trying to create a little controversy, because who knows where this came from? It really came from left field. All of a sudden, he just says this without any indication that this was ever happening. So
right, he was giddy. Yeah, because she gave him an inch and he took a mile. She gave him an inch by saying, look, I know we're going to have to target Jed and Ty. Like, you know, she's basically saying that to save face, because she doesn't want the players in the game to think that she's unwilling to do that, because as long as she's viewed as somebody who eventually will take them out, no one's going to target her. They'll just target Jed and Ty. If they think she's an unbreakable throuple with them, she might be targeted. So it's in her best interest to tell somebody like Ro, hey, I know that we need to target these guys eventually. Like, I get that. But then he went and took it to a whole nother level that she was simply not comfortable with. And also, it attacked her very... so everybody has a reality. It's like for... it's like I'm trying to think of Infinity War, where there's a reality stone. Everybody has a reality stone and how they view the reality of the game that they're playing. And he shook her reality to the core. She was like, oh my God, like, am I an idiot? Like, am I being used? And then thus she went to him to Jed, confirmed that it wasn't true, or at least from his perspective wasn't true. And now everyone's mad at Rohan and he doesn't even know it. So that's the part that sucks for him the most. And he may bear the ramifications of that as early as this coming week.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's highly likely. Well,
yeah.
Anything else from the feeds? I know there's speculation Tara has been talked to about.
I'm not my favorite subject. I alluded to this on the last time I was here, but she's setting me some even more stuff. Microaggressions, racial microaggressions to Jed and Ty in particular. All of a sudden, I think it was yesterday or the day before, she's coming out saying like, well, maybe I wouldn't put them on the block if I won HOH. So obviously the fans think that the diary room talk to her, because you know, if you're somebody who is guilty of racial microaggressions, what do? You don't want people to think that you're guilty of that. So then you go on the feeds and you say, hey, I'm not gonna target them. I wouldn't do that. Like, maybe if there's a backdoor opportunity, maybe I would then. So you know, who knows what actually happened. I think it's likely she was definitely talked to. And just so you know, I don't think it would be likely that she wouldn't target those two guys if she won HOH, because and assuming that it's not a double, and obviously they didn't announce last Thursday that this Thursday's HOH is a double, so it's not going to be a double. And so if she won HOH, she would have some time to talk to Tina. Tina would talk her into, say, hey, that sounds like a stupid plan. You can't nominate somebody like, you know, Beth and Brayden, which is what she was saying she was going to do. You're going to have to nominate Jed and Ty. Like, you can't take a half shot at Jed and Ty, because by nominating Beth, you're still targeting one of their allies, and they're going to view it as a shot across the bow anyway. So you might as well target them full out. And I think that if she does win HOH, she will go ahead and do it.
Yeah, and bad gameplay doesn't forgive microaggressions. Like, these are two different issues. I hope she took it to heart and learns about herself. Mm-hmm. And yes. I also hope she makes the right game move, which would be to go after Jed and Ty, not for racially motivated reasons, for game motivated reasons. So,
right.
Yeah, she also made a comment about, like, The Simpsons, about Apu in reference to Rohan, some kind of joke or something. And that's just, it's just ridiculous. And especially, like, obviously, I'm not in that, you know, none of the three of us have ever dealt with something
right? Three
like
white
that.
Guys on a podcast talking about microaggressions, right?
Exactly.
But it is fair. So, you know what? I feel like it's important that I'm glad we are talking about it, because it's important that white people do point it out. And obviously, if she's guilty of it, she needs to be taken to task for it. And she obviously is guilty of it. So I'm hoping that Big Brother actually sat her down in the diary room and told her, you know, hey, I don't really know if you're aware of the fact that you're saying things that are taken this way, but these are racial microaggressions. You might want to check yourself. So I don't know how you tell somebody that. Obviously, I know if she was my friend, you would tell her in a sort of a friendly way. But when it's the producers talking to you, I don't know how they really bring that subject up without her totally freaking out and thinking, like, you know, the worst case scenario, which is like, oh my God, all of Canada thinks I'm a racist now, which, you know, obviously is not what we're saying. It's just you're saying things that are not cool, and you don't realize that you're uttering racial microaggressions in the way that you talk to Jed and Ty, specifically Ty. And so I hope that she was at least talked to about that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I think that sums up everything I've got. Anything else we're missing?
I mean, like I said, Austin's going to go home. Brayden's going to be by himself. I will share with you. So my friend Noah retweeted this. I saw the clip of it. It was so funny. So this is what we're missing by the fact that Brayden and Austin are not going to make it to jury together. So Brayden and Austin were talking game, and I can't remember what they were talking about. Oh, they were talking about that in some competition, they got their clothes stained, okay? Oh, yeah. And so Big Brother comes on the loudspeaker and is like, you know, a reminder, house guests, you cannot talk about production. And Austin literally looks up at the sky and is like, we're not talking about production. We're talking about the destruction of my property. So fucking funny. I'm like, oh, I can't believe we're gonna lose her this week. I will say she's like, she's not the kind of messy queen I like. Like, she gives icy glares and sort of stares at people and sort of hangs out with Brayden. So the fact that we're losing her before jury is not that big of a loss. Like, I mean, I love the Brayden and Austin shenanigans, but you know what? She hasn't given me a ton, so I'm okay with losing her here.
Yeah, we had the Ding Dongs. They were fun once. We don't. They're a lesser version of that. They're not as
right. Silly. They are a lesser version. Oh my gosh! Yes, yes. My kingdom for the Ding Dongs right now.
Well, Bobby, Brent, this has been a blast. Thank you very much. It's good chatting.
Thank you. Wait, before we go, I want to say you can follow me at Twitter at OneLuckyGay. That's one spelled out O-N-E, because I always forget to do that at the end of the podcast. And you can also follow me on Insta, where I've been posting some thirsty pics of myself. Obviously, I got a haircut. I just wanted people to notice that right now. I'm OneLuckyGay across all platforms. So I think Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. OneLuckyGay. You can follow me.
Yeah, and I'm at GoodsbyBobby, and I hardly ever post stuff. I need to be better. And if I do, it's of my 5-month-old. So, yeah, check me out on Twitter at GoodsbyBobby. I don't use Instagram, and Facebook's for family and friends. So, yeah, Twitter.
Yeah, right. I'm only on Instagram, at Zach Hacker Writes. And you can follow me if you want, whatever. But thanks for listening. Big Brother Canada 9 rolls on. See you next week.